Okay, so on Nun Beis, so Nun Alpha Mada Amun Beis, page 102, for a few lines from the bottom. We went over this again from yesterday, okay? So the three lines from the bottom on Nun Alpha Mada Beis, 51b. So by Rava poses the following question. Namala Shechastra Mahu. Let's say you have an ant, it's missing part of the body. And this is the sugya of birya we spoke about last night, that if you have a birya, and it's mostly when it comes to Oakland, when you eat things, so there could be a shear, usually the shear of achilah is kizayis. But if something's a whole birya, a whole creation, so then you're chayav even less than a kizayis. So if you look at the second last tosos, we did this last night, we're going over it again. Second last tosos, namal shachas mahu, the amar in tosos, the amar perak eluhin lokin, ochel machal chayvel bechol shehu. So the Gemara second makro learns that if a person eats an ant, which is obviously less than a kizayis, he's chayav malkot. Alpha Pishayim, but Kazayim, even though there's no Kazayim, Mubayalei, in the Surag Leha, Shadayim Yecholachyod, Vadayim Shem Biryalehem. So here the Gemara is questioning, let's say the legs of the ant have been cut off, but it's still a living creature, it's still able to get along. Does it still have the Chal Shem of a Birya? In other words, let's say he eats the ant without the legs. So back in the Gemara. So, by Rabbi Namala Shechasra Mahu, Shira Gemirin La Vahachasir, do we say, when we say birya, do we say that's the whole shear? In other words, the whole creature is the shear. So if you're missing part of the shear, you're not chayiv. Oh, birya gemira lava iko. Or do I say, if it's something that they could live this way, and the ant could live this way, so maybe you are chayiv. Let's see the bottom tosos. Mimim shira gemira, klomar, shlema birya vachasa. Do we say it has to be a complete creature? We don't have a complete creature here. Oh, dilma birya gemira lava, habi la sheretz. Do I say it's long as the beer is its creature is able to live? So I forgot. I'm sorry. I got the tumult. So tonight's daf is sponsored by Shinda Rudzinski on the occasion of the yahrzeit of her mother Edith Wegg. That's Ita Bat Shaya Zichron LeBracha. Okay, so tonight's learning is Lizzie Kama of Candy's mother, right? That's Edith Wegg. Okay, so the Gemara says. So the top line now on Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Rav Yehuda mi Discarta. So Rav Yehuda from Discarta brings out a proof from a Braisa, Tashma, or tries to bring a proof from a Braisa. It says Bahem Yechol B'Kulan. So this is talking about different Shratzim. Shratzim are these crawling creatures. So now we're shifting gears. We're talking about a Din Abiria is normally Din Achila. We're shifting now to Tuma and Tara. So it says with the Shratzim, he says. Like Hanogeya Bahem, if you touch them, you're Tame. So Bahem, Yechobah Kulan, so I would think I have to touch the whole creature. In other words, it's a dead sheretz, it's dead. So that it's an Abatuma, dead sheretz is an Abatuma. So Bahem, I touch the whole creature. He says, Tama Lomar Mehem. The next Pasuk says, Kol Ashri Pol Mehem El Tocham, like whoever falls from it. Mehem, so Mehem sounds like part of it. I Mehem Yechomek Satan. So it sounds like even part of the creature would be enough to give Tumah. Tamal Omar Bahem. There was one Pasuk says, Bahem. Sounds like I need the whole creature. The other Pasuk says, Mayhem. Sounds like part of the creature. Ketzad. So how can I be Miyashay both Sukhim? Adshi Gabamik Satan Shuki Kulan. You have to touch a portion of the dead sheretz, which is the equivalent of the whole dead sheretz, which is what? B'shiru Chachamim B'cha'adasha. So the Chachamim evaluated that we're talking about the shir of an Adasha. An Adasha is like the size of a lentil. He says, why? Because the chomet is one of the shratzim. There are eight shratzim. We went through this in the chumash. There are eight shratzim. One is the chomet. So whatever the chomet is, the lizard or whatever, it's so tchila b'riyatom is right before it's born. It's the size of a adasha. So he says, so the Gemara wants to say, since you see for that halacha, the Gemara takes it, I need a whole creature, but right before it's born, that's the shear. That's the minimum shear. That's what the Gemara says. Is the minimum shear for tuma, like the whole creature right before it's born. So adasha. So we think right now that I need a whole creature, a whole ant with the legs. That's what we think. Well, there's a few more lines we'll pause. He says, so if that's the proof, then you need a whole ant with legs. So Amar of Shemaya, kiba inan shiura b'tlo habiyah b'chadasha l'matame l'nafla ba'nashama. So the Gemara says, when you say we need a whole shear, and I go below that shear, it's not matame, that's lo nafal banashama. In other words, like life is not capable of being, you know, inserted in this creature. In other words, if it's chaser right before it's born, so it's not capable of living anymore. It's chaser. He says, "Aval nafla b'neshama lo." But if it's already a living creature and now it's missing some pieces, so maybe that would be enough to be a biryah. So the Gemara says tibayilach. So the Gemara says it's still a question. Okay, let's go over again and we'll take it down. Okay, so again, welcome, Michael. So the issue we're talking about is in Imbiria. Imbiria, as we said, is a din usually in Achila. Well, it's like for Shirim for Achila. So normally Achila is only Shirim Kazayas, but if you have a Biria, that's an exception to the rule, and it could be less than a Kazayas if I have a whole Biria. So like it would be even shaykh, let's say it's shaykh, let's say even by Bracha Chrona, let's say I eat one grape. So one grape, you know, could be less than a kazayas, but I might be chayiv on a bracha form. So the best way is to have, you want to have a number of grapes. You don't want to enter into this, into the shiloh with this. But anyway, we're talking about, though, you're eating an ant. So an ant, I think it's more than one lavim. The way I remember the Gemara, I think 8 lavim you're over if you eat an ant. But you're chayiv malchot numerous times, you eat the whole ant. But what if you eat the ant, let's say it's missing its legs, but it's a living creature, so can it still have a din of birya or not? So the question is, when we say birya, does it mean I need the whole entity, you know, as it would normally be, which would be legs? Or if it's capable of living this way, maybe it still has a chalal shame of a birya. That's the question we had in the Gemara. So the Gemara brought a proof from a brisa that had to do with tuma and tara. So it's like shifting gears. Again, tuma and tara is a different area in halakha, but the duma, a dead sheretz is an avat tuma. A sheretz is like a crawling, creeping creature. It's an avatuma. So the Gemara has two psukim. One says that Bahem, you touch Bahem, you're Tame. The other says Mayhem, you touch part of it, you're Tame. So how is it? So it's Mayhem that could be enough to be Bahem. In other words, if it's part of the creature, but the shear for the part of the creature you're touching is big enough to have been the whole creature right before it's born, which is the side, the chomet. In other words, the chomet is the shear we're going to use. The chomet is one of the lizards or reptile, whatever it is. Is the shear of an adasha. So the Gemara took it as a raya, since we see the halakha for dina tumantara, because I need the whole complete creature, the komet, right before it's born, so I need a whole complete creature. Just like over there, I need a whole complete creature. That's the minimum shear, so too here with the ant, we need legs. So the Gemara says, no, one second. So the Gemara says it's not necessarily proof, because over there we're talking about, like, the creature has to be able to be, you know, bare life, to be life, to be, injected into it. He says here, we're talking about a creature that's already living and living even after legs are removed. So it's not mukhrach that would not be the case. So the Gemara is not able to resolve this question. Okay, now question comes close. What do we got?
Are we saying that you have a sheretz that's missing legs, it's bigger than the required shear, minimum shear.
Right, and that's what the Gemara is saying. Let's say right. In other words, let's say I have a sheretz. Let's say it's a lizard, and I touch a piece of the dead lizard. Let's say I chop off a piece of the dead lizard. So the Gemara is saying the halakha is, if the piece that's chopped off is the size of a dasha, a lentil seed, a lentil, or greater, I'm tame. That's what the Gemara is saying, an adasha. So where does adasha come from? It comes from the thing. Oh, you got it. Okay, any of the questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up? So each creature is its own shear. In other words, I'm saying you can eat. It means if you consume a mosquito, then if you become a whole mosquito, then you're over. You're over on lavin, right? You're over on lavin. You consume mosquitoes. I don't eat mosquitoes. you fly. Yeah.
Mice. Bitches.
You see the sun shining? You see the small creatures?
They're midges.
M-I-D-G. I don't know. If you could see them, then you're over a lot. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to move on unless anybody's got other questions. Okay. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, so now we're on.
Did you say, wait.
Okay, Pesach Tzavid, what's up? Speak up, scream.
You said only if you can see it, you're over. If you can't see it, if it's too small, you're over.
No. I'm saying, let's say microscopic organisms. Let's say I drink water, and I have this. There's things that are in the water, but they can't be seen with the naked eye, so that I'm not chayiv for what I'm drinking, you know, the things in the water. That's
why was the problem with New York Why was it that problem?
No, because the copepods were, they said you could see it with your naked eye.
Well, you could,
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go back to the Gemara. So now the Gemara says on line 10 of the two dots, the Shidra Vagul Gol. So if you recall, earlier in the week, we've been doing the whole week with this Mishnah that we did on Daf Mem Tet, which was Monday's Daf. We said about all the shiurim that a Nazir comes into contact with, you know, from a dead body that causes him to shave and to be subject to Tumah. So one of the items that the Tana of the Mishnah mentioned on Mem Tet of Days was Hashidra Vagul Gol. So the spine and the skull, the spine and the skull, so let's see back on Gemara. Hashidra Vagul Gol. So it means, I mean, assuming it means, like, if a Nazir walks into a house and there's a human spine and a skull there, so then he's Tame. That's what we think. We'll see in a minute. Hashidra Vagul Gol. So Ibailu, Shidra Vagul Gol. So what does the Mishnah mean? Does the Mishnah mean I need both a Shidra and a gulgolet? Is that what it means? Odilma, O Shidra, O gulgolet. Or perhaps the Tana Mishnah means either a Shidra or a gulgolet. So that's the question. So Amar Rava Tashma. The Rava tries to bring a proof from the following Braisa. Shidra Shigirei Rov Lion Shabbat Tahora. That if you have a spine, that most of the ribs have been broken off from it. So he says, then that spine is tahor. In other words, the spine, yeah, I'm not, a doctor, we have our medical, team here, but in other words, we have the shidra, and then there are the vertebrae the ribs that
come from. Spine is the vertebrae.
No, the ribs are connected to the vertebrae. Right. So let's say all the ribs are broken off from the spine. So I have a spine without the ribs. So you buy those. So the Gemara says, Shidra should be Rovi Yilayin Shabba Torah. That Shidra would be Torah. In other words, that does not give Tuma. He says, no, at least not Tuma, it's Ohel. He says, Ubekever, I feel we should bear it on the corrected Tamea, Vnea Kever. But if it's part of a spine that was buried in the ground and then the ribs are nearby, so then that would give Tuma, Tumas Ohel, because the Kever joins it all together. We'll see in a minute. So Tama. So let's just listen and then we'll ask questions, okay? So Tama Mishum Degirate. So the Gemara wants to deduce that the focusing on the first halakha in the Braisa, that the spine does not give Tuma because the ribs are broken off from it. Halogi Rei Tame. But the implication would be that if the spine was connected to the ribs, then it would give Tuma. You would have Tuma Sohel. So Shraminao Shidra Ogul Kitani. So from here, the Gemara wants to deduce that you see that it's either the Shidra or the Gulgolet. In other words, again, the Braisa says, if I have a Shidra, I have a spine, should be Rei Rovi Lion Shabbat. Most of the ribs are broken off of it, so it doesn't give Tumas Ohel. So that would mean that if the ribs were connected to it, it would give Tumas Ohel. So it would give Tumas Ohel even without the Gulgolet. So I see that a Shidra by itself, the Gemara wants to say, is capable of giving Tumas Ohel. That's the proof. So the Gemara says, Halo Katani. So the Gemara says, and again, the language here in Masechet Nazir is a little like Ngar, but Shunah. So he says, Halo Katani, the Braisa never says explicitly the way we're just saying. In other words, it doesn't say, like, if, the Rov Sol Tower broken off, it's Tahor, but it's connected, it's Tameh. Hakamash Malan, he says, so the way I could understand the Braisa is the Chikirei Tahora, that indeed, if most are broken off, it's Tahora, but either Tibailach. But on the other side, it's still a question. It means it could be the Tana himself is Mesupak, what the Halak would be if the Rove Slavotel were connected. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not Mukhrach that it would give Tumas Ohel if most of the ribs were connected. But if the ribs are not connected, definitely Tahora. But what would be if it's connected? We don't know. That's still like the question mark. All right, who's that question comes to the world? Okay, so tell me what you got and what you didn't hear. Which is the last part? Yeah, so again, we wanted to bring a proof from the Braisa. The Braisa says, if I have a spine that most of the ribs are broken off from it, it's Tahora. So we wanted to say, so if it's connected, it's Tamea. It's right. So the Gemara is not Mukhrach. It could be that the Tana is just telling me, if I have a Shidra, and the ribs are broken off, it's Torah. But if the ribs would not be broken off, We don't know what that would be the case. It could be the Tana himself is mistupak, what the halacha is in that case. Right. But the only thing he's telling you for sure, if it's broken, then it's definitely Torah. That's what the Tana is telling you. Okay. Any other questions? Tell us the thoughts on anything we did so far. Okay, let's go further. Now let's take a look. Okay, so we're going to keep trying to bring proofs. So Tashma, Reb Yehuda Omer. So now the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And again, this is going to take us into the second Amud, this whole topic. Tashma, Reb Yehuda Omer, Shishad Rim, Reb Akiva, and Tame. There are six items that Reb Akiva says are Tame, B'chachamim, B'tarim. So it's going to be six items where Reb Akiva says, even if the item is from two different people, it causes tuma. And come and say from two different people, it's tower. Okay, that's going to be the six items. The Chazar of Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Akiva retracted his opinion and he agreed with the Chachamim that it's tower. And now the Bryce continues on. There was an incident when they brought a box filled with bones, human bones, that is, to the coppersmith's shul. I think this is in Tiberia. We've had this before about the Beit HaKnesset Shel Parsim. Maybe Michael tells them soon. They left the box in the uncovered area. In other words, they didn't want to bring the box into the shul. I don't know why they bring the box anywhere near the shul, frankly. This whole thing sounds so ghoulish, you know. But they bring the box and they leave it outside, he says, because they don't want to cause, you know, to masorah help anybody. V'nichnas todos harofe, and todos, the doctor, came. The whole rofe mimo and the whole bevy of doctors with him. But amru, they said, in kan shidra mi meidachad. In other words, we have the bones of a spine here, but it's not from one single cadaver. It's maybe from two or more people. He says, so there's nothing to worry about. In other words, because it's coming from two or more people. And Rabbi Huda, and then Rabbi Akiva agreed with that. So Rabbi Akiva, you know, he was closer from his sheet. This is fine, tavor. So now the Gemara tries to bring a proof to whether I need a shidra golet or shidra by itself. So tama, the lekha shidra, the mechada. So the reason that everybody's tahor is because we don't have one complete spine from one person. But if there would be one shidra or one gulgolet, from this story it sounds like, that would be enough because the nazir to have giluach. So from here, from this incident, from this braisa, we want to extrapolate that the pshat in our Mishnah, when it says shidra gugola, it means o shidra o gugola, that either the spine or the skull is enough to cause tumas ohel for a nazir. Okay, that's the way we want to say from this story. So the Gemara again deflects this proof. The Gemara says loma baya kamar, means it can, like, it's the derech, like it goes without saying. Loma baya shidra gugola to be made a chad leka. In other words, not all, in other words, the braisa could be saying the standard is shidra and gulgolet. In other words, maybe the standard is you need a shidra and a gulgolet. But the Tana of the Bryce is saying, you're so far, or this Todos HaRofe was saying, you're so far off from the mark. Not only do you not have a shidra gulgolet from one mate, elafilu o shidra mirachad gulgolet mirachad laka. Not only that, you don't even have one shidra or one gulgolet from the single mate. In other words, you're so far removed from what you need to have tumas ohel. Not only do you not have a shidra and gulgolet, you don't even have a shidra from one mate or gulgolet from one mate. So that could be the derech for the brice, in which case I don't have a proof. Now, one second, let's just see the I want to see the Rashi. He says, yeah, if you look in the last narrow line of the Rashi, it says, Lomabai Kamar, Lomabai Shidra gulgolet to made a they shear to an ol delaka, you don't have that. El afilu shidra mi made a chad, ugugolet mi made a chad. You don't even have one shidra from one mate and one skull from another one. The divra Rabbi Akiva have in the tame lo ika. Meaning, according to the way Rabbi Akiva held before he retracted his statement, he held that you could have a shidra from one mate and a gugolet from another mate, and that would work. Here they're saying you don't even have that. Here it's saying, he says, you don't even have a shidra and a gulgolet. In other words, it doesn't get off the ground. Okay, anyway, the point is, we don't have a proof from here one way or another. Okay? Bones. Human bones. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, right? We said it depends on the shear of the bones. If I have a shidra and gulgolet, then we had rope, when we have chatzikav, Remember, we had then Robinion. We had all those cases of the bones skipped to Masohel.
It wasn't one person.
In this case, right. Gulgolit is the skull. Like, we're impartial. Lefi Gulgolotam. Count them with, like, you know, Lefi Gulgolotam. Like, with the census, the Jews. Well, let's go back. What are you transplanting? I never heard of them transplanting a vertebrae. That I haven't heard. I haven't heard transplanting a vertebrae. But I don't know. All right. Now. Wait. Say it again. Right.
The ribs
are broken. Right. So here it doesn't say the ribs are broken.
Spine.
In other words, it's a full spine, but it's from two different dead people, a full spine. It's like, you know, like in the museums when they put things together like that. That's the way we're taking it. All right, let's see further in the line. Now, okay, so now we're six lines from the bottom, and then Beza Medalla. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tashma Yiminyana. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof from the same Brisa that we just mentioned a few moments ago, from the number that's given in the Brisa. We said that, we'll see in a minute. We said there were six things, right? We said Rabbi Yehuda says there are six items that Rabbi Kiva was metameh and the Chamin were metaher before Rabbi Kiva was poser. So from the list of six items, we'll be able to deduce the proof. So Shmami Nami Minyana. And now the Gemara picks up. This is the continuation of the Brisa that we learned about. In other words, the Brisa tells me the story about the shul with the box of the bones and the whole thing. And then the Brisa says, what are the six items that Rabbi Akiva and the Chamim had a machloket about? So he says, Al Aver Menameh Shabbat Mishnei Meitim. If you have an Aver, a limb from a human that comes from two different people, you know, so one limb, but from two different people. So in that case, the Chamim are Tyre, and Rabbi Akiva was Metameh. That's one. Two, the Al Aver Menameh Shabbat Mishnei Bnei Adam. I have an Aver from a living person that came from two different people. In each case, Rabbi Kiva's Matami, the Chamim retire. Case three, Yal Chatzi Kav Atzamot Shabbat Mishnei Meitim. A half a kav of bones that came from two different people. Here means like broken bones, like the half a kav of bones. So half a kav, they said in the art school, is like between 1.5 and 2.5 gallons, or quarts rather. So I'm thinking like two quarts of broken bones. We have Revi Adam, this is number four. Revi Adam Abba Mishnayim. If I have a revius load of blood that came from two different cadavers, we have Etzem, so now we're up to five. We have Etzem Kisora Shenechlak Mishnayim. Let's say I have bone the size of a barley seed. Remember, bone the size of a barley seed, the Mishnah said is not Tumas Ohel, but it's Tumas Mago Masa. You touch it, it's not Tame. So let's say I have bone the size of a barley seed, but it's broken into two. So Rabbi Kiva's Machaye says it's Tame, and the Chamim say not. And now number six is Vashidra Vagulgola, the spine and the skull. That's item number six, the spine and skull. So turn page. The Isal Kadaita O Shidra O Gulgola. Now, how do we understand this Bryce when it says Shidra Vagulgola? So one way to understand it would be, I have a shidra and gulgolet, and it's coming from two different people. So maybe the shidra is from a Reuven, and the gulgolet is from Shimon, and then the Rabbi Kiva's metame, a chamim metahir. But that would be if it's six items. But if it's seven items, that's shidra or gulgolet, then I have seven items. So the Brisa says six items. So since the Brisa says six items, it sounds like you need both, right? That's what it sounds like. So let's turn the page. So the Esau Kadaita, top line on Amad Beis, Esau Kadaita, O Shidra, O Gulgolet, if you'll assume that you only need a Shidra, O Gulgolet to give Tuman Tara, so then Hani Shiva Havim. So then we have seven items. So we think we have a proof that it must be Shidra, O Gulgolet is one item. You need the Shidra and you need the Gulgolet. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Kikatani, parentheses, Siman Yachid Shu Gilach Yachad. So these are mnemonic devices for the four answers the Gemara is going to give for this, that how to slug it up and say it could be. In other words, the Gemara wants to say it must be Shidra B'Gulgolet is one item. Now the Gemara is going to give four answers that it could be Shidra Ogul Golet. So how are we going to do this? He says, Kikatani Simin Yachid Shugilaf Echad Kulhecha de Kigale Rabim. When the Tana quotes six items of Machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, he's talking about Rabbi Kiva was against the Rabim. In other words, the whole multitude were against him, and he was a Yachid. La Puki Etzem Kisora de Yachidu de Paligale. Etzem Kisora, even though it's listed in the Brisa, is not one of the six items. So Etzem Kisora is in a whole category by itself. Why? The Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, Etzem Kisora Shenechak L'Shtayim, if I have a bone, human bone, the size of a barley seed that broke into two, Rabbi Kiva Matame, Rabbi Kiva says it gives Tuma, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Matayir. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is one Chacham, is Matayir. So answer number one is that when the Tana mentions six items, it means six items where the Chachamim are a chulak on Rabbi Akiva. And then Rabbi Akiva came over to them. But Etzem Kisora is in a different category. And Etzem Kisora is also in a different category. It's not Tumas Oel, it's just Tumas Magomasa, that we know already. So if that's the case, so it could be they're really four items in the list, not five. In other words, we thought we were five before we get to Shidra Gugolet. Maybe there are four in the list now before we get to Shidra Gugolet. And Shidra Gugolet are two items. Shidra and then Ogul Golet. What, say again, what? Wait, let's just go. Again, the Tana made a list of six items where we keep the Chama Rechulak with each other. The way we had the list, Shidra and Gugola had to be one category. So the Gemara says it's a proof that Shidra and Gugola go together. The Gemara says, no, the shot could be the Tana means Shidra is category A and Gugola is category B. So then I have seven items. So the Gemara says you don't have seven because one of the prior five items that you had goes off the list. You had five, then you came to Shidra Gugolet, seven. So it's not five, it's four. Because which one goes out? Etzem Kisora. Even though it's listed, it's not one of the six. Because it's only counting the six where the Rabbim or Mechulak with Rabbi Akiva. Etzem Kisora is just Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is Mechulak with Rabbi Akiva. Again, every case is with more than one person in the bones. That every case is more than one person where the Chachamim say it's Tahor and Rabbi Akiva says it's Tame. Listen. Here are the two choices. I'm going to give you choice A, choice B. Listen closely, okay? Choice A, Shidra and Gugolet go together. And so it means the Chachamim say if it comes from two different people, however you want to dice it up, half a Shidra, half a Gugolet, or Gugolet from Reuven or Shidra from Shimon, it's not Tame. And Rabbi Akiva says it is Tame. Okay, that's choice A. Choice B is Shidra O Gugolet. I have one Shidra, half the Shidra from Reuven, half from Shimon, and one Gugolet, half from Shimon, half from Reuven. Those are the two choices. Well, then the implication would be that if it's one person, it is Tumatami Ba'ol. That's the issue that's turning on how we darshan out this Brisa. So the Gemara is giving four explanations. So the way we understood the Brisa, I have five items, then I get the Shidra and Gugolet. So then Shidra Gugolet must be one, because otherwise they end up with seven. So the Gemara says, no, it's not five items, it's four items, because one of the five items doesn't belong there. So here, the first answer is, which item doesn't belong? Etzem Kisora doesn't belong. There's only one Yachid is fully good. Okay, let's do the other three. Let's just wait 3 minutes. Let me do the other answers. Then we'll answer questions. Okay, let's go. Okay, so he says, now, on line five, the Ebay Dema, or else I could say, Kikatani Aver Menamai, Mate, Aver Menachai, Lokatani. Meaning, I could say that when the Tana is listing, we listed Aver Menachai and Aver Min HaMeit is two categories. It's really one category, Aver Min HaMeit. And it's just like, as a subcategory, you could say it's Aver Min HaChai, or you could say the Tana is only really concerned with the people who are dead, not where it came from a living person. But either way, instead of being two categories, it's just one. Okay, answer, again, it's the same idea. So I only have four items before I get to the Gugolet. The Ibay Dema, answer number three, Kikatani, Balhecha Denazir Megaleh Halahilo. Or else I could say, this I alluded to earlier, he says that he's only counting the items where the Nazir could get too much ohel from the item. Here again, Etzem Ksora has another reason why it doesn't belong in the list, because with Etzem Ksora, there's never Tumas Ohel. If a Nazi or anybody walks into a building where there's an Etzem Ksora, there's no Tumas Ohel with Etzem Ksora. Right? Okay, that's answer three. And again, this is the last one. The Ibait Ema Hikatani Bulhechai Dahadarbe. Or else I could say that the Tana is only listing items where Rabbi Akiva later on retracted and agreed to the Chachamim. La Puki Rabbi Adam Dlo Hadarbe. So in this case, Rabbi Adam doesn't belong on the list because he never was closer on his position on Rabbi Adam that if you have a Rabbi Adam from two different dead people, Rabbi Akiva says it's Matami, the Chachamim were Matahir, then Rabbi Akiva, stayed to his position. The Amarle Rabbi the Bar Kapara, because Rabbi said to Bar Kapara, Lotishta Rabbi Adam Bechazara. You shouldn't teach that Rabbi Adam was one of the items that Rabbi Akiva was chozer on. Shreidli Mudosh Rabbi Akiva Biado, because that was his constant, like in a shir, he would always go over that it's Matame. Va'od Hamikra Messiah, in addition to which, the Pasuk seems to support Rabbi Akiva's position. It says, Va'alchol Nafshot Meit Lo Yavo. It says, Alchol Nafshot Meit means Nefesh is like the blood. Ki Adam Lo Nefesh. I call nafshot meit lo yavo, like plural. Nafshot meit lo yavo, I think is by the Kohen Gadol, but it says I call nafshot meit lo yavo. Now Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So in the Brisa, the Tana Rabbi Shimon says ad yamav hayamatame. It was I knew him. It was Rabbi Shimon says I studied with Rabbi Akiva his whole life. So the day of his death, he said that Rabbi Yisdam from two different people's time. I don't know what he did after he died, but during his lifetime, he was never chosen from this. He didn't change his mind. So the Gemara says, like as a prat, Tana taught in a brisa, Hushru Shina Bnei Taniotav, that Rabbi Shimon had tremendous charata that he made the statement. It was like sort of like a lack of kavo towards his Rebbe, that he said, I don't know if he was chosen after he died. And it was obviously... Right. So, and because of all the tanya, all the fasts he took to atone for that avera, his teeth became black. Let's look at Tosfos. We'll do two Tosfos, the second and third Tosfos. Arab Shimon and Yomot Shimon keeping him a tame, Kloma Lokazarba, meaning he never retracted. Tana Hushrushina of Shurb Shimon, Ne Taniota, because of all his fasts. Ne Shain Derek Eretz, the Bureau of Rabobla Shomze. It's not Derek Eretz, goes about your Rebbe this way. Like he says, V'yasha v'hitana yamin rabim. So he fasted many days for this. Okay, now let's just repeat. We're going to take questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we're on our way. Okay. So again, the question that's on the table, and it's still on the table, when the Tana Mishnah says shidra v'gul golet, does the Tana mean that shidra v'gul golet is going to give tumas ohel? Does it mean a shidra and a gul golet, a spine and a skull, or he means O Shidra O Gugolet, a spine or a skull? That's the question the Gemara has. So the latest raya the Gemara wants to bring is from this Brisa that mentions that Rabbi Akiva had a machloket with the Chachamim on six items, that each of these six items, if it came from two different people, the Chachamim said it's Tahor, and Rabbi Akiva says it's Tame, and then the Brisa says that Rabbi Akiva later on was chozer to agree with the Chachamim that it's Tahor. So the way we counted it up initially, it came out item number six was Shidra V'Gulgolet. So that seems like a raya, that Shidra V'Gulgolet means together. In other words, you need a Shidra V'Gulgolet to give Tumas Ohel, and then they have a machloket. If it comes from more than one person, what would be the situation? Okay, but then the Gemara says no. The Gemara has, we can explain the Brisa differently, because the Gemara had, so the Brisa listed five items and listed Shidra V'Gulgolet. So the Gemara says, look, maybe one of those five items does not belong there for various reasons. And so Shidra Gugolet is really four. And then actually, so it could be Shidra or Gugolet. And that's the basic answer. So the Gemara had, what are the four items that may not belong there? So item number one was Etzem Kisora may not belong there because the Tana is only listing of the six items where the Chachamim, the Rabbim, were holding with Rabbi Akiva, as opposed to Etzem Kisora, where only Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was holding with Rabbi Akiva. So that doesn't belong in the list. I don't know, but only one person who is recorded as being mechulak with him. So in that case, he's not listing that. He says, Then jumping ahead, another reason we said Etzem Ketura also might not belong there is because he's only counting those items that give Tumas Ohel, and Etzem Ketura doesn't give Tumas Ohel, just Tumas Mago Masa. Okay, there's two reasons. Then another reason we said Aver Men Amed, Aver Men Achai, we counted as two, that might be one. Then the last reason he says that Revi Adam doesn't belong there because he was never chose there from Revi Adam to agree with the Chachamim, so that doesn't belong there. So either way, at the end of the day, it's four, and then I get the Shidrin Gol that I could learn it that way. So it's not Mukhra. We don't know. We don't have an answer yet. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? When we talk about, in other words, an Aver Menachai, the essence of the Aver, The essence of the aver is usually the bones. You know what I mean? It's the limb is chopped off. Like they chop off an arm, but it has bones in it. You know what I mean? That's the. Kazayas from a nevela. You're going to mess me up with this. It was kazayas and from a human as well. Kazayas basar from a human also is tumas ohel, right? Kazayas basar from a human is also tumas ohel. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Anybody in Zoom land want to say anything? All right, everybody good? Ruth, are you waving or you want to say something? All right, let's go on. All right. Okay, back to the Gemara. Let me see if I have anything from our sponsors here. 1 minute. All right. That was the famous doctor? Never heard of him.
Pierce Togas. Name is Togas.
Wait, but we've been doing Daf Yomi for many years. I never heard about the doctor in the Gemara. Where is that?
His name is because they
refer to him. I got it, but where is it? Is it ever referred to as Daf Yomi anywhere in that?
No, it's called Togas by his Greek name.
All right. Now. All right. All right, Rafu Shlame with you, by the way, Michael. All right, now. Okay, let's focus now. The Chachmas Adam writes that it's permitted to bring the body. Now, he's talking about they brought the Kupa Malaya Atzamo to the shul of Tarsim, the coppersmiths, which I think was in Tiberia or something like that. So the Chachmas Adam writes, where is it? Where is it?
Tarsus, ancient
civilization. Oh, he's learning differently, though. He's learning differently. Okay, the Chachmas Adam writes, we said that they brought the bones to the shul. So Chachmas Adam writes, permitted to bring the body of an outstanding Torah scholar and leader into the base of Medrash where he used to teach Torah for the purpose of eulogizing him. In other words, you could bring like the Rav of the shul, Rav of a shul to the shul for a hesed. He adds that this halakha was employed to honor the Vilna Gaon, who was famous throughout the world as a Gaon and Chassid, a unique figure of the generation. Later, he was disturbed by the fact that these people later applied it as a means to give honor to others who were not deserving. He writes that in order to assure that this halakha does not continue to be misapplied, it is appropriate to cease the practice of bringing bodies into the Beit HaKnesset or Beit HaMedrash. In other words, I think it's in the Chachma Sadam. In other words, Chachma Sadam said they did it for the Vilna Gaon, but then once you open the door to this, you know, literally and figuratively, it's like, you know, it gets abused. Like people who aren't, like, you know, Rabbanim, you know, we to be, you know, eulogized in a shul are eulogized there. He says, the Maram Sheikh explains that even the Chachma Sadam agrees that it's appropriate to bring the body of an outstanding Gadol of the generation, Beis Medrash, and he was merely warning against misapplying this halakha. The Chumash Divrei Malkiel echoes the same sentiment when he writes that in his times, it became customary to bring even average people into the Beis Medrash, a rule of practice is not consistent with halakhic principles. Chumash Chaim Bayad testifies that the custom in the city of Izmir, which is a city in Turkey, he says, was that they would bring the body of a rabbi who taught Torah to the community to the Beit HaMedrash on the way to the cemetery. Once in the Beis HaMedrash, the body was placed on a bench in front of the Heichal, and the deceased rabbi's assistant would eulogize the deceased from the place where the deceased would speak to the community. The Chuvus Malamid Lahoil was asked following the death of Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer whether it is appropriate to bring his body to the Beis HaMedrash for the purpose of eulogizing him there. That's obviously in Germany. He says, he responded by citing the comment of the Chacham Sa'adam and the explanation of the Maram Shik, and proceeds to write that Azriel Hildesheim was also well known as a man of stature. His piety, sanctity, chesed, breadth, and depth of knowledge certainly made him worthy of being brought into the base matter for the purpose of eulogizing him. All right, let's see further in the Gemara.
Rabbi, is that the same when Rebbitzin Ruth Menasseh passed away, they brought her coffin to Great Neck Synagogue?
So first of all, I remember they did it outside in the parking lot. I don't know where they brought Ruth Menasseh's body. I remember he was here in the Young Israel, and they brought it into the shul, right? Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yes, you're right. It was outside, but it was in the synagogue.
No. So Ruth Menasseh was here in the Young Israel. Then Rabbi Menasseh was outside the parking lot of the Great Neck Synagogue. During COVID. So the idea there would be that Eshet Chaver or Eke Chaver, the wife of a Chaver is like a Chaver. That would be the Malach that they were using for that. That would be the okay. Let me go further. Yeah. All right. Now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now we're up to Tashma. So again, the same questions on the table. Shidra v'gugolet or Shidra o'gugolet? So Tashma, the Tanya, we learn the Brayisa. The Shammai Omrim, Rova Atzamot Min Ha'atzamim. Beit Shammai says that if you have a quarter cup, now again, let's go over this. Remember, we said that in Halakha, Tumas Oel is a quarter kav of a tamot, but for the Nazir, you need half a kav. The Nazir, you need half a kav. So he says, the Tanya, Beit Shammim, Rova Tzamim Had Samim, O Mishnaim, O Mishlosha. Beit Shammai says, the general halacha that I need a quarter kav, it could even be from a very few bones of the body, even from two or three. In other words, I have pieces of bone, but the piece of bone could have come from two or three bones in the body. Hill says the rova kav has to be megvia from the important, the means the body, but it means like the important part of the body, i.e. me rova binyan. It's most of the structure, and we've spoken about this with the hip and the shin bones. He says o me rova minyan, or from most of the number of bones in the body. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua, this is still part of the Brayisa. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. So Rishu says, I can reconcile the opinion of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and the way I understand, there's really not a machloket between them. He says, Beit Shammai is saying, you need from two or three bones, meaning, that either from two thigh bones and one shin bone, or from two shin bones, and one thigh bone, since that would constitute most the height of a person. In other words, Beit Shammai is saying it has to be from a significant part of the body, which is the most the height. He says, Min Hillel says it's like from the body, but he says, Omi Rov Binyan, from the most of the structure. He says, Omi Rov Binyan, Hol B'yeshnan, B'mifrkeya Dayim Raglayim. Rov Binyan, he says, like the hands, like the fingers have a lot of bones. And again, I'm not a physician, but there's a lot of bones in the hand and the feet. He says, so in essence, they're both saying the way that Rabbi Yeshua understands it, both Beit Shammai and Hillel don't disagree with one another, right? That the Rova Kav has to come from a significant part of the body. So it's either coming from, you know, the Rov Binyan, you know, that's the way he's explaining even Beit Shammai is like the Rov Binyan, and the Rov Binyan, or they said, but they agree with one another. Then Shammai Omer, this is Shammai himself says, Afilu etzem min hashidra o min ha-gulgolet. Even a bone, a vertebrae, or min ha-gulgolet from the skull, and my doctor, my physician friends are going to tell me about the bones of the skull in a minute. The way I recall is that they meld as grow. He says, So let's just pause for a minute. So the Gemara thinks right now, in other words, what would Shammai be saying? What would his bar Pelukta be saying? So if Shammai says one vertebrae is enough to give Tumas Ohel, so what would the bar Pelukta of Shammai be saying? So we think that the other, we don't think that the two opinions would be from like left field to right field. Left field to right field would be that Shammai holds one vertebrae, and the Chachamim hold, they need a whole vertebrae and a whole skull. We think it much more likely that Shammai holds one vertebrae, and the counter opinion holds I need a whole spine. In other words, one vertebrae versus the whole spine. So if that's the pshat, then we have a raya. I only need a shidra. I don't need a gogolet. That would be the proof. Okay, hang tight. Now let's think back on the Gemara. Shammai miracle etzem and a shidra and a gogolet. So the Gemara says, Shani Shammai demach mitzvei. The Gemara says, you don't have proof of that. Shammai, he's big machmir. So it could be that his bar pulling the holes, he needed a shidra and a gogolet, and Shammai holds, he doesn't need a vertebrae. So the fact you have it that way is not mukhrach one way or another. Then the Gemara says, now that you prove to me that Mustama, that makes more sense, the machloket could even be from left field to right field. So lif shomina, Tama debate Shammai, and he said, what is, and it could be like Shammai. In other words, the reason for Shammai, the machmir, harabanan ad ikur shidra gogolet. So then, once you explain the brisa that way, so they have a proof, Shammai is the extremist. He's an extreme. He holds one vertebrae. His bar palut will hold shidra gogolet. Now I have a proof, and you shidra gogolet. Lo. So the Gemara says, no, I don't prove that way either. Why? Ad kalopi rabanan Shammai, el be'etzim achad, Da'ati min ha-shidra u'min ha-gogolet. In other words, in Akhenami, they could be mechulak with him. Aval hecha de'ita be'enei, even, in other words, it's not muchrach that the Chachamim mechulak with Shammai would hold, I need a shidra or gogolet. They could hold, afilu chadam in holdvay, that even either the shidra or the gogolet is not. That's what it's coming out. Are we good so far or not? Okay. All right, let's just say over. So, basically, the Gemara is saying, the Gemara quotes a brisa that Shammai says one vertebrae is enough to have tumas ohel. One human vertebrae is enough for tumas ohel. So the Gemara wants to say, what would the bar plukta with Shammai hold? If Shammai holds one vertebrae, what does his, we don't know who his bar plukta is, but whatever the bar plukta is, what does his bar plukta hold? So simple shot, I would say, if Shammai holds one vertebrae, is bar plutos and your whole vertebrae. So then that would be a proof that one vertebrae is alone, according to the Chachamim, is enough to be metamif to Mesoel. Right. So then the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Everybody knows Shammai's machmir tzvei. He's an extremist. You know, it's like Barry Goldwater, you know, moderation. And what is it? Yeah, is no virtue. And extremism, no, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. And moderation in extremism in the pursuit of what was defense of liberty, and anyway, the point is that the world wants to say that that it could be, so we start off saying it could be that Shammai is an extremist. So maybe he's so extreme that his bar palukta holds you need a shidra and a gogolet. So I don't have any proof. So the Gemara says, well, now you say you need a shidra and a gogolet. So I have a proof of the other one. So in a finami, we all know Shammai is a big extremist. So his bar plukta is shidra or gogolet. So the Gemara says, no, I can't prove that either way, because it could be that it's just a shidra or a gogolet. You know, that's what the Gemara is saying. All right. Now, the next Gemara, I'm just going to stop at this point in time. Let me just do a little bit from whatever happened to the sheet. We'll take it from here. Now, on Shabbos, I think, I don't know exactly, but it's 6:45, should be 5:35, right? If somebody could check, would be a big help. But I think the daf is at 5:35, the Shabbos. Now, he has a story and it involves the Ben Ish Chai. I always find, like, they always have Hasidic stories. I think, like, the Chassid goes on vacation, and then they have a Sephardic person, I think, who fills in, and he puts the Sephardic stuff, and it goes back to the Hasidic stuff. That's the way it seems to me. I don't know. Okay, now, he says, avoiding the prohibition of eating bugs discussed in the beginning of today's daf has unfortunately always been a problem for many uneducated Jews. Actually, here in America, for many years, it was not a problem, because they had, like, DDT and all these, pesticides that killed bugs and killed humans, but we were using it all the years. Then around, I don't know, it was like 15 years ago, they got rid of DDT and all these other things. Now it became a problem with all the vegetables to search for the bugs. Now the Ben Ish Chai Tzitzal tells of a sage who saw a woman perfunctorily checking a vast amount of lettuce for use in her large extended family at the Seder. In other words, it's in Yad HaYom. She's checking the letters for the Chazeret, and the Ben Ish Chai is in Baghdad, and he's telling a story about a woman. It's just like, you know, like, it's good. He says, the Chacham said, you would transgress more prohibitions than the number of hairs on your head. In other words, if you eat these, you know, bugs, and so you're over multiple times, and you have multiple people at the table. So let's say 10 people at the table, you know, it's like multiplied a zillion times. So many great luminaries have tried to find a way out of this serious prohibition. For example, Tosfos explains at the beginning of today's daf, the one who ingests an ant, even if it's missing some body part not essential to life, indeed violates the prohibition of eating a barium. This is the halakha. If the barium is missing something essential to life, it is permitted, if not, it is prohibited. In other words, in the Gemara, it was missing a leg, but it could still live without the leg. But if it's missing like something essential to it, then you're sort of like in the clear. So, right, we're talking about dead. Now, the Masas Moshe records that once a group of Talmidei Chachamim were sitting together discussing just this topic. One scholar thought of a possible way out of this problem. Since people chew their food thoroughly, even if there is beria, it's destroyed before it is swallowed. So perhaps most normal people rarely violate this prohibition, even if they don't check before they eat. If this reasoning is true, one doesn't even transgress rabbinically, since the creature tastes bad and is therefore luckily batel barov. So I don't know. He seems to be saying like Lechora. Yeah, no. You know, this, the way I'm understanding the thrust of this argument is, let's say I have a dead insect in the lettuce, and the person's chewing it, and now he's broken up into two pieces. Now then he takes one swallow, he swallows half the bug, and then he swallows the other half bug. Right, he didn't have a barrier. Never mind, because I never desires, but you know, that's what I think he's saying. Now, but the Erech HaShulchan, and this is by Rabbi Yitzchak Taiba, who I don't know, but this is one of Mordechai Javaheri, said this to me, I think he's one who said it. He said, he rejects this premise. It comes out of the Ravid and Ran that the deciding factor in Beria is its state when it entered one's mouth. In other words, what takes place in the mouth is irrelevant. It's what is the state before it entered the mouth. In other words, if it's a Beria going into the mouth, the fact that I'm chewing it doesn't make a difference. It's what was it before it went into the mouth? What? Yeah, he's saying not this way. He says when it enters one's mouth before it. So the base habliya is when you're actually swallowing. He says if it was complete, then one violates prohibition no matter what happens. That's the way I read it here, but I don't know. So that's the piece with the barrier. Okay, now he's got another piece here, but I think it's time to break up. Okay, now let me recording 1 second. Everybody hang out there 1 second.